1 Corinthians 14. The Bible says in verse 33, "For God is not the author of confusion." Right? If you're confused, I don't guess it's God's fault. But God is not the author of confusion, in contrast, but of peace. Do you see that? You would almost, based on this verse, think the opposite of confusion, as someone said, is peace. Certainly in this context. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." That's more than I can handle. Almost all churches I go into are confused. It seems. But God's not the author of it. Whatever else we say, He's not the author of it. He's the author of peace. Amen. Let's pray. Father, sure do need Your help here. I yield this time, this place, and this frail creature of dust into Your hands. And pray, God, that You will take the weak and the base and the despised and the thing of naught this morning and use it for Your glory. Help Your people and be glorified. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I've decided that most likely this will be the last message in this series, and I'm not even for sure it should be included, because I've really tried to be focused as we've gone through 1 Corinthians. I've tried to be focused on the subject of what we can learn from their mistakes, and looking at the local church in Corinth and trying to learn from it. But today, from 1 Corinthians 14:33 alone, it looks like their mistakes led to confusion. I think it'd be very safe to say that whatever they were doing at Corinth, it led to confusion. I realize the immediate context of 1 Corinthians 14 is tongues. More precisely, the abuse, misuse, and impersonation of tongues. And we won't get into that subject this morning. But to understand better verse 33, we need to remember the broader context of this confusion in Corinth. Normally, most people think that the opposite of confusion would be clear thinking or understanding or sound thinking or sanity. Bible believers, fortunately, have more light than that, and so we realize that it might be more like order or peace and so on. But here, whatever else we understand about confusion, it is contrasted with peace. Now, which had you rather have? At your house, which had you rather have? At your church, in your own heart, what had you rather have? Confusion or peace? If you study the etymology of this word, the origin of this word confusion, here are some of the things you'll find related, and really the definition of confusion: to mix utterly. It said mingled together. I'd already thought of this, and then I got my etymology dictionary out, and it sort of confirmed what I was thinking. I always like to break a word down. C-O-N, fusion. Most of you know what fusion is. And confusion is something that's mingled together, fused together, that's not supposed to be mingled together. It would seem to be the opposite of separation. Separation would keep you from being confused. Confusion in the dictionaries and studying the origin of the word means to be mingled together, to blend or to join together. Another word found in the etymological dictionaries is the word confound. And you know what that means? Difficult to distinguish. I'm giving you words I found in dictionaries, lexicons, Strong's Concordance, and it said concerning the word confusion that it is difficult to distinguish. I've been saying for years that the true local church and God's people have lost the power of distinction. We've lost the power of distinction. We are supposed to be a holy, separated, peculiar people, but instead we've been fused with this world. And it leads to confusion. Another word found in the dictionaries is the word disorder. Someone said that. Look at verse 40 in your text, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. After he says what he says about confusion in verse 33, he goes on to say in verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. You ever heard the phrase order in the court? I would say order is connected to submission to authority. Amen. It is also, you've heard the phrase disorderly conduct. Not only does disorder have to do with authority, it has to do with our behavior, which is unseemly. And then I read this definition. I don't know if you can appreciate it, but it literally, I'm quoting the words of a dictionary on the definition of confusion, and I can't even hardly say the word because it's hard for me to say it. Now, I've said, boy, am I perturbed. You ever said that? How many of you know what perturbed means? Perturbed. It doesn't sound like a word that you could possibly know the definition of. It just sounds like something we made up. Boy, that perturbs me. The dictionary said that confusion is perturbation of mind. Boy, that is profound. Your mind is perturbed. Surely it has to do with being frustrated and stressed out and angry and confused. No peace in your mind. So many people in our world are perturbed. So many people in our world, including saved people, are frustrated and living stressed out, confused in the biblical term. We don't need to think of confused as somebody that's sitting around rolling their eyes trying to figure out which way to go on the interstate. We need to think of confused as somebody who has mixed up so many things in their lives that they have no peace. They've lost the peace of God. So remember this definition of confusion: mingled together, confounded, disorder, perturbed mind. Now there's going to be some overlap in my simple outline for today's message. We're going to talk for a little while about confusion in the world, confusion in the church, and confusion in the home. Confusion in the world, confusion in the church, and confusion in the home. And utilizing the law of first occurrence, and most of you know what that is, look up a word for the first time in the Bible and you might get some great insight as to what it really means. The first time the word confusion is used in your Bible is in Leviticus 18, and it's talking about sexual perversion. It's a confused world we're living in. You talk about perversion. Now, the world calls it shacking up. God calls it confusion. Amen. The Bible calls it living together. Or the world calls it living together. The Bible calls it adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. Amen. The bed is undefiled in marriage, but I'm telling you, outside of marriage, the Bible has some tough words for you. It's confusion. Disorder. Confusion is related to stress and disorder and chaos and rebellion and perversion, and our world is overloaded with confusion. I'll not turn to Acts 19, but just talking about the city of Ephesus over there. It says the whole city was filled with what? Confusion. If you was reading that and didn't know it was talking about Ephesus, you'd think it was writing about Washington, D.C. Or San Francisco. Or Nashville. Or Carthage. A lot of confusion. What was happening in Acts 19? People were getting saved. And the Word of God, the Bible says in Acts 19, the Word of God prevailed. You know what you've got in Acts 19? The first half you got God at work, and the second half you got Satan at work. Study it sometimes. That's what you've got in Acts 19. And the Bible says the whole city was filled with confusion. Paul's influence was growing, and people were giving up a lot of things. It was hurting the businessmen. It was undermining the gods of that day. In other words, God's people were getting serious. Burning books. Getting rid of things in their lives that led to confusion. And God's people were separating themselves. The people in Ephesus were getting upset. Who do these people think they are? saying my Bible's not right, saying I shouldn't dress that way. I'm just telling you, the world doesn't want us separating and being distinct. Ephesus was in an uproar. Would you agree with me that our world is getting more and more confusing? The famous artist Picasso said the world today doesn't make any sense. Why should I paint pictures that do? I think that's pretty profound. The following notice, I've read this before, I think, was sent home with some high school students years ago. Here's what the notice said. Our school's cross-graded, multi-ethnic, individualized learning program is designed to enhance the concept of an open-ended learning program on the continuum of multi-ethnic, academically enriched learning, using the identified intellectually gifted child as the agent of his own learning. A parent sent this letter back. I have a college degree, speak 2 foreign languages and 4 Indian dialects, but I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about. Do any of you remember Kurt Gowdy? I used to love to listen to the wide world of sports and Kurt Gowdy announcing ball games and so on. He was announcing a baseball game one time that went into extra innings, and I quote what he said at the end of the night. The Tonight Show has been canceled. The Tomorrow Show will be seen later tonight, and the Today Show will be seen tomorrow. Confusion. Of a different sort, if you will. Many of you know the, and I hear that you're not supposed to even talk about situation normal, all fouled up in the military because it's been changed, but that used to be the acronym. I believe in America, normal is all fouled up. Normal is a bunch of confusion and chaos and no peace. Not in our country. Somebody said, if you think you're confused, think of Columbus. He didn't know where he was going, got there and didn't know where he was, left and didn't know where he'd been. I guess that's confusion. Remember, though, the definitions. Difficult to distinguish. Take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel this morning, chapter 22 for a moment. Ezekiel chapter 22. And look at verse 23. Ezekiel 22. I'm using the definition that the Bible really uses more than the ones that we use, this idea of difficult to distinguish. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22, verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Watch this. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. He said there's no difference in this crowd between the holy and the profane, between the unclean and the clean. That sounds like American Christianity to me. That sounds like a bunch of Baptists I know. Look what it says in verse 30. Verse 30 says, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Watch this. God says, Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them. Watch this. With the fire of my wrath, their own way have I recompensed upon their heads. You know what God just said? I gave them what they wanted. I let them have it. Can I tell you today, one of the worst things that could ever happen to you is for God to let you have it your way? Oh, you think because you're saved, born again, you're going to go to heaven, but you want to do this and you want to do that and ignore the preacher, ignore the Bible, ignore mom, ignore daddy. If God ever lets you have it your way, you're not going to like it. There ought to be a difference between you and this world. There ought to be a distinction among the people of God. It ought not to take long to figure out if you belong to Him. God said, I'll just let you have it your way. And I'll tell you what that leads to, confusion and no peace. Our world is a mess. You say, you're discouraging me. I'm not through. You ought to appreciate honesty. You know, when I was growing up, especially, even when I moved here to Smith County, there were still people around that if you bought a foreign car, they'd give you a hard time about it. Boy, when I bought a car that wasn't a Ford, Chevrolet, or Dodge, Brother Noel rode me down. He just let me have it. I can't believe you bought that. You know where that came from? You know, used to, every time I'd see a vehicle coming down the road, I could tell you what it was. Not anymore. Man alive, they all look alike. And now, you know, every car maker has 17 different kinds. And they've got trucks and SUVs. I mean, when Honda started making a truck, you know we're in trouble. It's confusing. It's why I hate to shop. I hate shopping. I hate for Ron to say, just stop by and get... It's real simple. It'll be right down this aisle up on the right. You kidding me? There are 732 brands of soap. You can go down here to the dollar store to get some shampoo. And it's shampoo and conditioner and body wash. And it's 2-in-1 and 3-in-1. And this one has aloe. This one's got a special formula. Secret ingredients. Yeah. This one's for dry scalp. This one's for sensitive skin. This one's just for men. You know what I think's coming? 4-in-1. You're going to wash your hair, have conditioner, and wash your body and brush your teeth with the same thing. It's a confusing world. And then you look at America, baseball, America's great pastime. NBA, sport. You can't pronounce the names of these people. Wee-whack. I just named somebody who plays professional sports. And he's an American. I didn't say there's anything wrong with that. I'm just telling you everything's getting all mingled together. I'm telling you it's getting all blended. It's getting fused and confused, if you will. By the way, maybe a side note, maybe not. Genesis 11 is about the Tower of Babel. What does that word mean? Confusion. You know what the Bible says over there in Genesis 11? It said because, it called it Babel for a reason. It said, here's the reason it's Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language. That word confound is another definition for confusion. That's a Bible definition, scripture with scripture. And right before that, it said that the reason God had to do that is because they have all one language. They were mingling together too much. God separated them. But they keep getting together. You may not like this, but I'm a Bible believer. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion. Does anybody know what the next verse says? Let your women keep silence in the churches. You may tell you what would clear up a lot of confusion? Silence. Amen. We're in a confusing world. When it is legal to have a baby ripped to pieces, you're in a confused world. When pornography is called art, you're in a confused world. When drunkenness is called alcoholism and not sin, you're in a confused world. When protecting owls and snakes and whales is more important than protecting babies, you're in a confused world. When they try to outlaw guns and legalize abortion, we're confused. When they take the Bible and the prayer and Ten Commandments out of the school and put Harry Potter in, we're confused. But Jeremiah 3 says this, our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned. You know why there's confusion in the church? Because of sin. The Bible is clear. God's people have dropped the ball. We would much rather talk about Washington, D.C. We would much rather talk about Hollywood, liberals. We would much rather blame someone else. But God says we're confused because of sin. Too many churches have let the world come in and the Word go out. They've started mixing and blending until nothing can be distinguished. They are entangled, fused in the affairs of this life. And it has led to a lot of confusion that's unnecessary. And God's people, and I know this to be a fact, all too often have no peace. And if anybody should have it, God's people ought to have it. I'm not talking about peace with God. I'm talking about the peace of God. I made my peace with God in 1978, but oh, what a privilege, what a joy sometimes to lay down at night, no matter what's going on, and have the peace of God. You know whether or not you've chewed on that for a while lately. You know whether or not you've tasted that peace lately. You know whether or not that permeates your home and your heart. Do you have that kind of peace or confusion? Cornerstone, sometimes I'm sure you wonder why I preach against, and then you fill in the blank. Well, Ephesians 6 tells me I'm supposed to stand against. You know, I don't know if we know what God's people are supposed to be against anymore. Because everybody's afraid to stand against. You know why? Listen, I'm dealing with it even at Cornerstone. If you are willing to say you ought not to do that, people get mad at you. You know what I find real interesting? And I'm just being honest with you. You'll listen to talk radio. You'll listen to the news media. And they'll lie to you. They'll get you all worked up. But the next day, you're not running them down the road. But you come to church and preacher tell you the truth. And all week long, you run him down the road. You are confused. You're confused. Why don't you run them? Why don't you talk about the news media as much as you talk about the preachers? Because he tells you the truth. Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He said, why would you preach like this, brother? Because I want you to have peace. Man, I do. And I want our church to have it. You see, I can't really change Washington, D.C. I got to start at Riddleton Circle. I got to start at Massey Road. We'll see if it can get a little bigger than that, and maybe it can. But if they've got a mess during the hearings of a Supreme Court justice, I just don't have a whole lot to do with that. I just don't want to mess at my supper table. Now, I don't want to mess when people walk into church on Sunday night. I want it to be a place of peace instead of confusion. God wants you to have peace, stability, and sanity. He wants you to be a bright light in a confused world. What has caused so much confusion in the church? Let me show you a verse. Turn to James 3. Let me just show you this. Now, lest you don't get sidetracked, every one of you, let me help you. If you're wondering who I'm talking to, I'm talking to you. That's the way you ought to look at this. If you're sitting there thinking, boy, I hope they're listening, you're a mess. Okay? This is for all of us. We all get worked up and lead ourselves into confusion instead of peace. The Bible says this in James chapter 3, verse 15. James chapter 3, verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Envying and strife, that's what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's why it led to the confusion of 1 Corinthians 14. There's envying and strife among the people of God. Why? Because we don't die to self. It's too much about me. Not only that, to be honest with you, we mix the world's music with godly music. Mix, mingle, lose distinction. We mix worldly psychology with preaching. We mix worldly standards with God's standards. And so the Bible says the Laodicean church will be blind and naked and won't know it. Now that's confused. It says they're going to be blind and naked and not even know it. You know why? We're approaching it now. People don't understand what God expects, and they've so mingled with the world and the worldly crowd and the things of this world and the music and the movies and the movements of this world, and they've so blended them together they've lost their distinction. They're confused and have no peace. Paul tells us what leads to confusion. You know, we as Bible believers would condemn sorcery and wizardry and then go pay to watch their movies. We would condemn adultery and fornication and then sit and watch sitcoms. We're like that crowd in Romans 1. They're not doing it. They're just getting pleasure out of those that do it. We would criticize and condemn gossip and then get on Facebook. Mixing, mingling, losing the distinction. To be honest, we get outraged by cross-dressers and then get upset if the preacher says you ought to dress like a lady. There's a weird contradiction goes on in all that. The world's confused. The church is confused. Mixing and blending things, and maybe that's what leads to the saddest, perhaps the saddest of all. The home is confused. It's no wonder why so many young people at the age of 18 leave church never to come back. They say now over 70%. Because there's so much confusion in the home. The preacher says one thing, the daddy says another, and mama tries to find the middle ground. Parents act one way on Sunday and another way on Friday. No consistency, no order. Just stress and confusion. Folks, in a world of chaos, your children ought to be able to find a safe haven at the house. Boy, they ought to almost just long to be at home where there's peace and joy and happiness instead of World War III. God's people ought to have homes that are not confused. You see, as the people of God, you and I offer a searching, confused world peace. We've got peace at our disposal. If we don't have it, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. He is not the author of confusion. You agree with me this world needs some things that are a sure thing instead of all this vague, dark, gray, confusion. And so real quickly, I'm going to close by telling you some sure things that you need, I need, and this world needs. Number one, the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:19 calls it a more sure word of prophecy. Now folks, I'm one of those guys that just could not, I could drive from here, I used to drive from here to Houston, here to LaPorte, here to New Caney, and never turn the radio on. And never put in a CD. I'm warped. I love silence. I just do. I like it. I can hear myself. But occasionally, especially now with our own Carthage radio station, so many good sermons on CD, so many of our own folks putting out good music. Amen, I love that. But I just want you to contrast for a minute. Going down the road and listening to talk radio, NPR, whatever you like to listen to versus the Britton family. Feel done. Which one do you think is going to lead to peace? Which one, when you turn it off, is just going to be a flood of peace instead of stress and frustration and confusion? The choice is yours. And so occasionally, and I used to never do this, I'll put in Alexander Scorby. Man, I've listened to the entire book of Romans on some of my trips. I've listened to tons of Bible just driving down the road. And listen, I don't care whether you like Alexander Scorby or not. It's peaceful. It is so peaceful. And I could have been listening to some country music. You know, where they're talking about Jesus in one verse and whiskey in the next. Mingling things together. Or I can put in the Word of God that's consistent. And it's the sure Word of prophecy. That's what you need. That's what the world needs. Something that's sure and certain, like the Bible. Then we need a sure foundation. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Do you know why so many preachers now are questioning people's salvation? It seems like they're basing their salvation on the wrong thing. And I've talked about it to just about every preacher that comes through here. So many people that don't have assurance, don't have confidence. Why? Because you can ask them. You say, "Are you saved?" "Yeah." "Well, tell me about when you got saved." "Well, I got baptized when I..." You ain't going to have peace like that. You know why some of you, when it comes to salvation right now, you have no peace? Because you're basing it on a prayer instead of a person. Salvation's not in a prayer. Salvation's in a person. Have you received Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Him? It's the only way you'll ever find peace. Sure foundation. The sure Word of God. How about the sure second coming? I do want to give me some peace. I'm just being honest with you. Jesus said, "Surely I come quickly." You know what Paul said? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I'm telling you, I'm glad to be saved here and now. Being saved makes a difference here and now. There is joy and peace here and now. There's a purpose here and now. But I'm going to tell you, if it's just for here and now, no good. I'm glad I have peace. Listen, I wouldn't want to have been facing what North Carolina and South Carolina has been facing in the last few days. I wouldn't be wanting to face what some of our soldiers are facing in other countries right now as I preach. Boy, I'll tell you what, it'll give you peace. Knowing that the worst thing that could happen to you is to take your last breath and wake up looking in Jesus Christ's face. He's coming. He is going to fix this thing. And by the way, He's going to sit down on a throne in Jerusalem. And the world's going to gather to worship Him. Our Savior. You know what? Knowing He's going to be King gives me peace. They won't be voting on Him. Congressmen won't be asking Him any questions. Job said, "I got a question for God." He showed up. Job never opened his mouth. He was sitting with... When we see Him... I got a feeling a lot of those things we thought we'd want to say are just going to melt. And we're going to look eyeball to eyeball with the Son of God. Amen. The sure second coming. How about sure death? He said to Adam, "Thou shalt surely die." So how does that give you peace? Well, people say, "I'm prepared to die." That means they've got their cemetery plot bought. That means they've paid up all their policies. You know what I'm saying? That's not the way Paul viewed death. Paul viewed death as an escape from this world. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For the time of my departure is at hand. Death is a... You can look at death a little different than most people. We shouldn't sorrow as others which have no hope. And then lastly, there's a sure judgment. I want to close by asking you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This will be the last place I ask you to turn, and I'm practically through. Hebrews chapter 12. Now you know what it says in Hebrews 9, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, what? A judgment. There's a sure judgment coming. You're going to stand before the Lord. If you're saved, you're going to stand before the Lord and give an account. If you're not saved, you're going to be at the great white throne judgment with nothing to stand on. Well, that great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, 11 to 15, is a scary passage. The Bible says the earth has fled away. And there you are standing before God. If you're lost, that's as certain as I'm talking to you right now. You're going to stand before God. At that moment, you're going to be a Bible believer. You're going to believe in a place called hell. And you're going to believe there's one true God. And He's going to open up the books. And when He gets through, He's going to look you in the eye and say, "Depart from me." I don't want anybody to have to go through that. I don't want anybody to have to go through that. And if that's your sure future, you better get saved. You better cry out to God and trust His Son to save your soul. But for those of us that are saved, we're going to the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we've done in our body, whether it be good or bad. But the Bible says something's coming in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. It says, "See that you refuse not Him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now He hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." God says, there's fixing to be a shaking take place on this earth. And I'm going to tell you something, if it's not grounded in Jesus Christ, it's not going to survive the shaking. And that ought to lead to one of two things in your heart right now. Fear or peace. This world's going to get turned upside down. God's going to shake things up. Listen, they talked about Y2K. I've studied the Depression as a history major. I've studied about Nazi Germany. I've studied about some of the most horrific times on this earth. The worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come. And when we were here and we listened to Darlene Rose, and when I read some of the accounts of people that survived Nazi Germany and some of Stalin and all, listen, Cambodia, those that knew the Lord had something that this world so desperately needs. Peace. What's the opposite? Confusion. Stress. Frustration. Anger. Anxiety. In your heart. In your home. God forbid, in your church. Paul said, God is not the author of confusion. He's not talking about can't decide which road to take. He's talking about having something other than peace in your soul. And I believe most of our anxiety, stress, frustration, and confusion is self-inflicted. And God says, you can have peace if you want it. It's yours for the asking. Come and get it. Amen. Let's all stand.